Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Power Up. Trisha Hirschberger here, joined by the lovely and effervescent Maud Garrett. Maud, how are you today?
I love that. Thank you so much. I still love that we are the colors of our banner and the show, that you are always blue and I will always be pink, even though my set is soon to change, as well as maybe the chair because the armrest is broken. But you are watching Power Up. This is our weekly show where we talk about what we are currently playing, watching, and reading. We're going to get Amy Cassandra Martinez in to also give us a little bit of news because it's news week. So we're going to hear what's happening in news-wise, but then also tell you what we have been delving into. And if you're watching this live, hi there! Sup? If you want to hit that follow button on Trisha's Twitch, that'd be amazing. For the first time ever, GeekBrom is hosting the show.
Yay!
I know, I'm learning how to twitch.
That's what Maud was like, after the show today, we're going to have to talk about how to host on Twitch from GeekBrom. And I was like, oh, it takes 2 seconds. We can do it before the show. Huzzah!
Yeah, and we got it done just in the nick of time. I don't know about you, I've been playing a lot finally. I had a lot of time off gaming, but now I am back into it. I've been watching a lot and I've been reading a lot. And I have a feeling, I don't know if you've been the same as well, but this is the show, the way to talk about it. If you're not watching live, if you're watching later, you are on the GeekBrom's YouTube channel. We dipped under 100,000. So if you'd like to subscribe, that would be amazing. So give everything a follow, a subscribe. It doesn't cost you a cent. You just hit a button.
Yep. We're happy to have you here. So thank you so much. As Maud mentioned, we're bringing in Amy Cassandra Martinez to tell us what's going on in the world of news. What's going off in playing, Amy?
Whoa. Well, yesterday was a big day. Yesterday was the Xbox Game Showcase. So there was 10 world premieres, and there was 22 console launch exclusives. Every game shown in the launch will be in the Xbox Game Pass or free to play. There was so many. I know, Trish, you talked about some on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So we would be here all day if we were going to recap the entire thing. So just kind of talk about your favorites. The pictures are there.
So I thought it was a good show. I know a lot, there were kind of mixed reviews all over the internet. Maud, did you get a chance to watch it?
No, I kind of like opted out of all sort of E3 moments and like those. I have almost PTSD from getting up at 6 a.m. so I can sit in traffic for an hour and a half only to sit in a room full of 2,000 other people and have my phone service not work. Mm-hmm. And then to ooh and ah. So I just kind of like the TLDR versions of all of these. And the best thing about doing this show with you is that you do all the work and then you get to tell me those highlights.
Well, and that's how I feel about you when we get to watching. So look, it's this give and take relationship. It's perfect. So Xbox Game Showcase yesterday, I thought it was a really good show. People were very mixed feelings on the Halo Infinite gameplay, which we were shown Halo Infinite gameplay, which was cool. It looks a little like an older, I shouldn't say older, but it looks like current gen or maybe even older gen hardware. But they did say it's a very obviously early preview of it. And the gameplay was awesome. They introduced a grapple hook mechanic, which we have never seen in Halo before, which was neat. And the character design of the villain who we were watching it live on my Twitch channel. We were doing a watch along and everyone in chat was like, is that Darren DePaul? So it remains to be seen if the villain is voiced by Darren DePaul. We shall see. It got me hyped as someone who really likes the Halo series. I was excited. It made me want to play. And Alana Pierce actually had a really good tweet that she was like, everybody's mad that Halo doesn't look hyper realistic, but here I am choosing to play Halo 2 in the Master Chief Collection with the OG graphics instead of the remastered. So, so it's not necessarily all about that. I think when we watch a lot of these next-gen showcases, we tend to be very critical because our expectations have been made to be so, so, so high. Everyone's trying to figure out whether or not this is something that they want to invest their time into and their money into for the next gen. There was a new title from Obsidian called Avowed, which Obsidian makes amazing RPGs. That's what they do. That's what they're known for. And Avowed is a new fantasy RPG from them that looked really, really awesome. a game called The Medium, which I saw in an Xbox showcase before, but we got to see more of this time, simultaneously renders two worlds. So like the otherworldly world and the real world, and you can switch between them is what we saw in this trailer for it, which was cool. We didn't get much information on a Fable other than that there is a new Fable and people are stoked about it.
We haven't had a Fable since when? 2012, 2011?
Been a long time. Yeah, been a long time. And I mean, the big thing with Xbox Game Pass that they're really kind of touting for the Series X and the next generation of consoles is that you don't need to buy the Xbox Series X next gen console to play the next gen games. Now, there was some debate online about when they said, like, a console launch exclusive, what does that specifically mean? In our chat, we were saying, you know, that it's going to launch specifically for out of the consoles. It will only be Xbox, not PlayStation, but sure. Xbox could include the Series X, the Xbox One, and PC. So I think that's what Microsoft means when they say, you know, we're not doing exclusive. If you're a Microsoft consumer, no matter what hardware you have, we want you to be able to access these games. They'll obviously just look better.
That's new for Xbox, but it's not for Nintendo. A way that Nintendo really kind of like set itself apart was that it was kind of backwards compatible. So it always sort of nurtured their classic titles. They made sure that like their old school stuff was available on newer platforms. Whereas I remember PlayStation and Xbox were always trying to say that they were trying to future-proof their stuff. So like that's why PlayStation has so many upgrades all the time, because they're using their sort of like software and tech to bump up those specs and systems. Xbox, I don't know. I kind of felt like when I got the 360, as soon as the One came out, I had a pile of like 28 360 games that were immediately redundant.
Can I tell you something that's going to break your heart right now? The Xbox One has backwards compatibility.
With 360?
With a lot of 360 games. Not everyone, but there's a long list of them.
Do you have to put the disc in?
Or
download the game again? Because I'm not paying twice for my games.
I think there's a list that works with discs, but what Microsoft is saying here is actually different than backwards compatibility. They're talking about forwards compatibility. So if you buy it now for the if you buy it now for the Xbox One, when the Xbox Series X comes out, if you also buy the Series X, you will get the upgraded version of it for free.
Is that because we're not really doing hard copies anymore and you can just download all the time?
A lot of it is. So they're really pushing Game Pass, which is their Netflix, essentially, for video games.
I love
Game Pass. Like, all the things that they showed, so those 10 world premieres, the 22 console launch exclusives, are all Microsoft titles, which means they'll all be available on Game Pass for $10 a month at launch.
Yep.
So if you figure, because I've done this before, because, you know, for work, a lot of times I'll have to play a new game and I don't have relationships with every developer and publisher, and I don't work for a major gaming outlet so that I'm given free games all the time. That's not a thing I have access to. So if I want to play a new game, like this Sunday I'm going to start playing Ghost of Tsushima, I have to spend $60 to buy Ghost of Tsushima. Now,
dude, 80, 90 if you're in Australia.
And that is also true. Whereas with Game Pass, I can look at, here's a $60 game, or I could just pay $10 and have it plus 200 other games for the next 6 months. For the same price of what I would have spent for this one title, and I get this title plus a bunch of other stuff.
And it makes resentment proof, because if you've spent all this money and you're not really gelling with the game, then you just play another one. And it's kind of like, I love that. I'm a big fan of it. And a lot of the time Game Pass will actually offer old titles for free, like, or heavily discounted.
So, and as someone that loves indie games, I feel like Game Pass inspires people to try new indie games that they might not otherwise have tried. And as someone who's primarily a PC gamer, everything Xbox is doing, where everything's cross-platform, you can cross-platform play, you can buy it on Xbox and own it both on PC and Xbox, etc. That's called Microsoft Play Anywhere. Microsoft has been making a huge push in the last couple of years specifically to unite. No matter what Microsoft hardware you have, you can play your Microsoft titles on all of it. And that is completely opposite from Sony's strategy, which is saying, if you want to play these new exclusive titles, you got to get the PS5. Only way to do it. So will it drive sales of the PS5? Totally. A year from now, when we look at PS5 sales versus Series X sales, we're going to see a substantial difference. And I know people are going to say, like, oh, it's because Sony's better. But it's actually just a completely different sales strategy.
Sony has been outperforming in sales over Xbox consistently for like since day one almost.
Right, which might be a good reason why Microsoft is changing their strategy.
This is like the first time we've really chatted about gaming. You know, I'm a console gamer. I haven't PC gamed in a while. I prefer Xbox because I was a Nintendo loyalist. Mm-hmm. So to go from sort of Nintendo to Xbox, I felt like, especially with the 64 controller and then the Xbox controller, that for me was like the better assimilation that happened, because to stick with Nintendo, it's all of a sudden, I'm playing drums with my controllers and now it's a controller and a console. So like, they're just like, their rules are out the window. But I prefer Xbox's interface. I like having the Xbox app so I can chat with people instead of having to painstakingly punch in one little letter at a time, like a 1999 SIM card phone. I've always kind of liked Xbox better, but I will always have a PlayStation and I have since 3 because of exclusive titles.
Because of exclusives, that marketing strategy totally works. Like right now I have my PlayStation hooked up to my streaming rig because I played Final Fantasy VII Remake, I played The Last of Us Part II, and now I'm probably going to play Ghost of Tsushima. All titles I can only play on my PlayStation. So yes, while I prefer my Xbox Elite Series 2 controller that I have downstairs in my living room because it just feels so beautiful in the hand.
What's that, a 250? Because I got one for my brother for his birthday.
Love it. Yes, I have the Series 1 and the Series 2 Elite controllers, and they're both amazing.
Yeah.
Both amazing.
Do you have a favorite Halo and or Fable memory?
Ooh. I don't know. I feel like every time that I reach, there's a point in every Halo game, at least one, usually multiple, you get the Halo music as you are like brought out into a beautiful horizon. And there's at least one of those moments that just makes your jaw drop during every Halo game. So I would say putting all of those together would be my favorite Halo moment. What about you, Maude? I have a feeling it's going to be Fable.
2014, seeing a guy, he lived with a bunch of other guys that all gamed. They had a living room. They had a separate room that they had tiered seating in to try and make their own cinema. It was a giant TV. They all got blasted on smoking bongs. I don't touch that stuff. But it was a Friday night tradition where we would go in and play Halo 3 in a competitive mode. And I think we'd had up to 8 people playing under the one roof at the one time. And my favorite part is I may have not have been the best in the room, but I was certainly never the worst, and I would always kind of be mid-range, and that for me was like enough to be accepted as one of them.
Yeah, girl, get it. Amy, you're awfully quiet over there. Anything from the Xbox showcase that looked good to you, or anything you saw from your research?
Well, honestly, my only experience with any of these games was with Halo. 8 years ago, I played it for the first time. It was like Christmas Eve or something. I went to visit like extended family and I was like, so, Halo, what is this about? And so I started playing some of it and I was like, yeah, I got really into it. So I'm kind of interested in it. I have an Xbox One. That's about the extent of what I know.
She loves watching.
yeah, but I'm definitely, during quarantine, I'm getting into gaming and reading as well. So
yeah,
I'm
girl. Thank
you for helping me. I'm venturing out of the phone games and onto Xbox games.
Console gaming.
Most
pumped about Fable, though. I just find them to be really, really fun, easy, accessible, good games. Like, it's a little bit sort of like kiddie-ish in a way, where if like an 8-year-old picked up and started to play, I wouldn't be like, no. I like the thing of Albion. Isn't John Cleese or someone like that like a big voice in it a lot of the time?
I don't know.
Pretty sure. That kind of stuff I absolutely love. My favorite Fable memory, I believe it was like 2010 or 11, I was playing online because they had online capabilities with one of my oldest friends, who I used to play World of Warcraft with back in the day. But obviously, like, you know, that whole schematic where if you want health, you eat the food. So I ate this delicious fat looking pie. It was like a raspberry pie, and I ate it. And my character went from one that looked like me to being like 6 feet wide. And my friend online would giggle every time we would meet up because I would just be like charging into frame.
Amazing.
And the ground would be moving every step that I took. And I was like, I had one pie. And so I only ate celery from then on, and it didn't matter because I was just like done.
I get it. Mr. Stevie Games in chat says, I'm not a huge Xbox guy, but my love of red versus blue draws me to Halo, which again was such a good series and so popular in the cultural zeitgeist that yes, Halo is like, it's a real thing. If you haven't played it yet, I'm envious of you getting to jump in for the first time. And right now the Master Chief Collection is available, so you can kind of do the whole backlog before Infinite comes out if you so choose.
Oof. Yeah. More power to you. So I guess it takes us to the part where we talk about what we are playing. Trisha, Amy, thank you so much for dropping the news. We'll
Thanks
see you over.
Amy.
Oh no, for Bombs Away.
You know, you know. Okay, Maude, what are you playing?
Oh, I'm back into Witcher. I'm back into Witcher and stuff. 1 a.m. I had to put down the controller at 1 a.m. this morning after about an 8-hour session. I started in the afternoon
I
had ice cream for dinner, and I played this, and I love this game. The first time I played it was 2017, so it's been long enough to kind of forget enough of it and to re-explore this world as if it was for the first time. The way that they do this massive open world and put little question marks to be like, hey, what do you think's over there? And I'm like, I'll find out. I am not a completionist at all. I'm usually like if the secondary sideline quests are there, I will entertain it, but it is not like my be all end all.
Okay.
In this case, it's quite bad. Like, I want to explore everything. I've only just unlocked the second region, Skellige, and I've been playing for what feels like 25, 30 hours.
There's so much to do in Witcher. Oh, and how much of your night was spent playing Gwent?
I don't go too hard with Gwent.
Okay.
I got the Baron's card, which I actually never did my first playthrough. I just totally dismissed that, and I didn't complete the game in that way. So I managed to do that this time around last night. But in terms of like Gwent, I can get really frustrated with the game because each game is quite long. So if you miss out only just, it's like to start again, it's just like, oh God, there's another 12 minutes that I've got to put into this.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why, like, every time I try to sit down and play Witcher 3, I never actually get through it because I get sidetracked with Gwent, and then, like, an hour's gone by, and I've just been playing Gwent.
Yep, I know. Oh, I love it, though. I absolutely, yeah, it's great. I love the voice acting. I saw some titties last night. Ooh!
Yeah, that'll happen.
It's like a full top-down view of her bust, and I was just like, oh, if anyone asks me what I've been getting up to in lockdown, I can finally say that I got a little last night. Thank you.
I know.
Vicariously for Geralt.
I was hanging out with a friend of mine before a photo shoot. My friend's actually mutual friend, Eric, our mutual photographer friend, Eric.
Yeah.
And
he only now plays Destiny 2 and I think has hit something like 800 hours.
Well, anyway, bring up Eric because he was playing The Witcher while I had a friend of mine who's a hair and makeup artist come over and like, help me get ready for the photo shoot. And she is not a big gamer. I have, over the years, convinced her to buy a Switch, and she plays Zelda, and, like, she's slowly getting into Nintendo, but not a huge gamer. But anyway, he was playing Witcher behind us, and like, or I guess behind me, and she was doing my makeup so she could see what was on the screen. And it was a very sexy part of Witcher that he got to. And she was like, what is this? It's like video game porn. And I was like, yes, welcome to The Witcher.
Geralt sucks. Like, you really get some. And then you kind of like have choices where you want to be exclusive and you want it. Like, there's an option where it was like, I'm spoken for, or I'm a taken man. And I was just like, let's go. Oh, dear. I'm so lonely.
I love it. Hey, live your best life. Live your best Geralt life.
Thank you.
I finally finished The Last of Us 2.
How was it?
That's my gaming news. I finally finished it. It's very hard to talk about how that game is without spoilers. So don't worry, anyone that's listening to this, I'm not going to spoil the end of the game. Even though anyone who's watching this live in Twitch probably watched me play through the end of the game. And apparently, I've been seeing in Discord all the really funny screen caps of ridiculous faces I made playing through the last portion of the game, because apparently The Last of Us 2 is fantastic for reactions. But it was really good. I thought it was really good. It was very heavy.
Yeah.
I still haven't really decided if I like the way it ended. I know a lot of people like the way it ended, and I've heard a lot of people say, you know, why they think it ended the way that it ended, and you know what it kind of means and what we're supposed to infer from it. And yeah, like I said after it, I was like, I need this to sit with me for a while. Like, you know how some films you see and it's not until a week later that you're like, okay, now I kind of have my concise thoughts on everything that was. And you know,
but it's making you think though, which I think is awesome.
It definitely makes you think, and that's something I really respect about it. I think all good forms of art really encourage heated discourse and encourage afterthought, and this definitely does. And so, and I also thought, technically speaking, it was a fantastic game. There were so many storytelling things in it that were very well done. The graphics are amazing, the voice acting is awesome. Like, there was a lot in it that was really, really great.
I feel like you finished The Last of Us 6 times faster than Final Fantasy VII.
Maybe. I wonder if I did like a... Here, let me just see how long to beat. Oh, the beautiful sight. How long to beat. How long to beat Final Fantasy VII Remake, and see what it says. I'll on average. At least 25 hours, but I'm such a completionist. Around 35 to 40 hours. 35 to 40 for Final Fantasy VII.
And Last of Us is around 30.
Okay. So, yeah. Last of Us 2 is a little shorter. Yeah. For sure. Beardtastic Yogi in chat says, The Last of Us 2 takes a little time to get out of even after you finish it. Exactly. But yeah. Honestly, it was like reading a good book that has a cliffhanger at the end of every chapter. Like, you're like, well, I can't stop now. Well, I can't stop now. Well, I can't stop now. That's how I was with The Last of Us 2. There was never a point where I was like, this is a good time to end. Like, I was always like, okay, well, I'm ending the stream because I absolutely have to, but maybe I can sneak in an extra stream tomorrow because I don't want to wait 3 more days to continue the story. Like, it was very, it kept me going, which, again, I think is a mark of good storytelling in a really good game.
I'm having that with Witcher at the moment with just, like, just one more quest, one more quest, one more quest.
Yeah, and then if anyone's looking at this graphic next to us, if you're watching the video portion of this podcast,
what is that?
That dog... Right there, holding a duck that looks like he's from Five Nights at Freddy's.
It kind of looks like that's the Duck Hunt puppy.
There you go. It's from a game, a virtual reality game called Duck Season. Duck Season puts you within a 1980s environment where you're playing a retro console and you go in the television to shoot ducks in a game that is exactly Duck Hunt, but in VR.
Got it.
And it's very funny.
Five Nights at Freddy's kind of dog.
I don't know that it's something I would have ever found on my own. Box is Best says Duck Season's the best VR game ever made. I don't know that it's something I would have found on my own, but one of the rewards on my Twitch channel, once you collect enough dragon scales, is that you can request games for me to play on stream. And this was a requested game that was chosen. And so I played it 2 days ago. I played it on Wednesday. Yes. And it was hilarious. We laughed a lot. So thank you, chat, for suggesting VR Duck Season. And if anyone else needs to get out of a depressing game like The Last of Us 2 and you need something funny, albeit slightly disturbing in a completely different way, VR Duck Season is exactly what you need.
I'm thinking of dragon scales. How many is kind of good? Like, what, sound off in the chat if you're watching right now. How many dragon scales has everyone got? Because I watch the show to get the feed every week, and I'm like accumulating.
Yeah. You're doing good. I give out dragon scales.
Never mind. My bad. The first one, Catnip Ninja, says 112,000, and I have 3,700.
3,700 is a lot. Let's see. With 3,700, you can get a highlighted message. You can unlock a random emote. You can send a message in sub-only mode, but I never use that. You can choose an emote to unlock. You can modify an emote, like take an emote and put sunglasses on it or something. You could, you're halfway to requesting a game for on-screen.
You know what else I can get for 3,700 bits? My own show with Trisha Hershberger.
Don't advertise that. That's not publicly available for 3,700 dragon scales.
No. 3.7 million, and then we'll talk. That is the playing portion. It's time for Bombs Away Q&A. Q&A area, where if you get your questions in before, you can do so on patreon.com/geekbomb. You get a heads up on not only who the weekly guest is every week, every other week, but you also get prioritized questions in this segment. And we'll also take questions live from the Twitch that Amy will be keeping an eye on. Highlighted comments, posts do a little bit better, so I hear. But hey there, Amy, what's our Bombs Away Q&A?
So this question is from patron Zraken75. Do you prefer story-driven games such as The Last of Us Part 2 and Order 1886, or more linear, like action player interactive games?
Interesting.
I don't know that I would pit story-driven and linear as separate types of games. Like, I always think linear and story-driven usually our games fall into both of those things.
Open world or linear. So open world, you get to sort of roam in the areas and unlock the maps as you see fit, but linear is sort of like A, B, C, D, E, F.
Right, but a lot of story-driven games are linear because, like, The Last of Us 2, I would say, is a linear game because you're doing things in a certain order to tell the story in a certain way, as opposed to a Witcher that's just open world and you can... Or, you know, Breath of the Wild, where you can uncover the story in whatever kind of chunk you want. But in general, I like story-driven, more linear games as opposed to open world. I know open world gives you more freedom, and people are, you know, video game companies are constantly saying, the biggest open world yet!
That's so intimidating.
I want a good story, and I don't want to have to spend 400 hours to get it. Now, that being said... If I play through a story-driven game and I want to replay it, there's certainly more replayability with an open-world game. I'm a linear story-driven girl. What about you, Mom?
The two times I've played Skyrim, they have felt like uniquely two different games in the same universe, because, like, I've made different decisions. You cannot play that game the same way twice. And I sort of love that. I remember when I first played Oblivion back in like 2009, one of the Elder Scrolls games, it just plopped you in the middle of the world and was kind of like, go. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you better tell me where to go, you know? And I also don't necessarily like it where, you know, you can free roam and then the enemies will kind of match your XP. I like having low level enemies and then you can tackle and take on harder enemies the more experience you get. Witcher is a great example of that. Where they will say, like, the level of the enemies, and every now and then you'll wander off too far and there'll be someone hiding, you know, guarding a hidden treasure, and their level will just be a red death skull and you're like, bye.
Yeah.
So I like that, if that answers the question, which it doesn't at all. Thank you so much, Lord. What's the Twitch question?
This one's from STS2884. What is your most anticipated game left in 2020?
Cyberpunk 2077. That's coming out in 2020, right?
Is it coming out?
Now I'm like second guessing myself.
Everything has been delayed this year.
I know.
2020's been canceled, guys. We just happen to still be in it.
Yeah, November. It's now November 19th, 2020. So Cyberpunk 2077 is my answer.
What other game releases are happening this year? I'd kill for another Mario Galaxy.
There's a lot of stuff that's holiday 2020, even if we don't have, like, a lot of the newer next-gen stuff that was shown off in the showcase. Some of that was even holiday 2020.
Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Is that this year?
I don't know, but I thought I would love Odyssey a lot more than I did. I just found it to be... The schematics felt more repetitive. Go into the area, do this thing, do that combat, do that. Like, I feel like there's so much more variation in The Witcher than in Assassin's Creed. I just felt like it was just rinse and repeat a lot of the time.
I am a little nervous for Valhalla. Not gonna lie. I'm a little nervous because, I mean, the whole thing with Assassin's Creed is being an assassin and, like, stealthing around, and Vikings are not stealthy combat warriors. They are in your face, pillage and plunder, and I'm just to me, I'm not, I think that inherent conflict is going to, it's going to be very hard to make it feel like an Assassin's Creed game. Even from what we've seen so far, I'm like, this just kind of feels like a Vikings action RPG. It doesn't necessarily feel like an Assassin's Creed game.
I'm going old school with this comment, and I am definitely dating myself on it. Sup, Maud? You're cute. But I want Valhalla to be anything like Golden Axe, where you got to choose between the three characters, and one of them was the Viking. He was the best character to choose out of those three. I just want anything like that again. Anyone remember Golden Axe? Golden Axe?
I remember Golden Axe.
Yay.
I do. But yeah, I mean, the one thing Ubisoft does really well with the Assassin's Creed games is the historical research that goes into it and the accuracy. So from a, like, interested about Viking history, I think that game's going to be cool. I just am a little concerned about the gameplay. So we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. Which Assassin's Creed has been your favorite so far?
That's a tough question.
There is a correct answer to your opinion.
There's a correct answer to my opinion. Yeah. There were definitely historical things I liked a lot about Odyssey. Maybe Black Flag.
That is the correct answer. We can progress to the next round. Black Flag was the best one. So good.
Yay. Yes, Amy, thank you so much for the bombs away. We always love having you, and we will see you soon for the watching portion of the show. Thank you, Amy. All right, folks. Well, this has been the playing portion of today's Power Up and this week's Power Up, I should say. Maud, if people want to check out the after show, where can they do that?
Yes, we are putting that up as a Patreon perk for $10 and higher. This is where Trisha and I will literally, and Amy, and the guest more often than not, actually, we will take time to power down. And we're in Power Up. We talk about all things playing, watching, reading in Power Down. We talk about life. We talk about personal things. We talk about opinions. We use it to vent. It is definitely a for paid eyes only kind of space. So on that one, patreon.com/geekbomb if you want to get involved.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys all so much for watching the playing portion of the show. We'll move on to watching next. All right, break time. So many things happened alert-wise during that portion of the show. I think we got raided by Becca Scott. Like, hold on. Let me just go through here. Okay. So, STS, thank you so much for the resub and happy subiversary. One whole year. Yay. Chili Bean, thank you for the resub and happy Friday to you as well. Geek Bomb, thank you for the host.
Oh, and Lasercorn rated.
Oh, really? Oh, my goodness. All right. Thank you for the host to Geek Bomb and Catnip Ninja. Squishy Poet, thank you for the resub and says sold on the sub. Thank you so much. The Catnip Ninja gifted a sub to Amy. Amy, you're now a new Dragon Rider.
That's sweet.
Congratulations. Zraken75 gifted 5 subs on the channel. Thank you so, 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 so much. The Becca Scott. Becca rated us. Thank you so much. And welcome to Becca's viewers who are here. My guess is Becca was probably playing Magic the Gathering because that's all that girl does. And I love it. I need to tune into her stream more often and just lurk to pick up some tips. Thank you, folks. If you're not already following Becca, Becca's an amazing human being. She has a wonderful community. And if you're into Magic the Gathering, she is the one to follow. So I'm just going to put a quick shout out in chat to Becca right now. She's probably not even here anymore, but Becca, I hope you had a great stream. There we go. Let's see. Is my shout out even going to work?
No, you didn't. It just says.
Oh, she was so reading tarot. She was reading, doing tarot card readings today.
Oh, that's cool.
That
I want to do
yes
tarot.
Awesome.
I want to do more version where it's like not attuned to any spirit at all. It's just like.
She was reading tarot cards today. That's amazing. Well, anyway, Becca, thank you for the raid, and I hope you had an awesome stream. Squishy Poet, thank you for the cheer with the bits. Then Lasercorn raided us. Thank you so much, Lasercorn, for the raid. Let's get a shout out to Lasercorn in chat too. Amazing. All my friends have the in front of their Twitch name. The Becca Scott, the Lasercorn Show.
We're not the Geek Bomb. We're just Geek Bomb. Just hey, if Geek you guys Bomb. Want to give us a little follow as well,
yeah,
we haven't posted a video for 2 years, but
I think we actually have a Geek Bomb shout out programmed into Nightbot already. So yeah, let's get that going too. Felicia Rocks, thank you for the resub. Agents Fire gifted 5 subs. Zrakin 75 gifted 5 subs. Wow. Agents Fire gifted a sub to Nightbot. You're hilarious. Maface gifted a sub to Becca. Luther Hitchens cheered with 500 bits and said, finally Friday. Agreed. Catnip Ninja gifted a sub. I think we got to like a level 4 hype train. You guys are awesome. Thank you so,
what
so much.
Mean?
Classy Librarian with the 100 bits. Motown Man with the bits. Thank you so much. We got a couple follows. And just now, iSolace 2016 with the Twitch Prime sub. So thank you guys so much. This community is ever growing. And I'm so, 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 so grateful for the wonderful folks in the Dragon Rider community. You guys are awesome. STS says, my Twitch name doesn't have a the, but I have that in all of my other handles for that girl, Trish. So that even.
That girl.
Yep. Perfect. And Divinity78 just gifted a sub to Maude Garrett. Maude, welcome to the Dragon Riders.
Tight.
But just so people don't get confused, twitch.tv Geekbomb is the Twitch channel you use, not twitch.tv/Maude Garrett, or are you using both?
I don't have a /Maude Garrett one.
Then who is Maude Garrett? Someone is Maude Garrett.
I don't know. Can we find? Maybe I did it just to block it. I don't know. Oh, this is fun. Twitch.tv/ what have I been up to when I dream? Is it even me?
Is it you? Did you do that?
Maude Garrett is offline. No. I don't know who that is. There is a Maude Garrett who
GK Gamer in. Fan says someone created it in 2013. There's a good chance that's you, Maude.
Fuck. Okay. Cool. I've got 17 followers. Hell yeah. Thank you. Oh, I hope that is mine so I can actually, you know, be supportive of you all.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Cool. This is why it's fun to watch live. All right, let's get cracking with the Wow Chin.
All right, bring us into watching, Maude.
Welcome to Power Up. This is the Girls Only edition where we don't have any guests, but hello, I'm Maude Garrett. We've got Trisha Hirschberger here, soon to be Amy Cassandra Martinez with the news. But because it's watching, that means playing has already been uploaded. So make sure you get your eyes on that one, and reading is about to happen. If you're watching live, thank you so much for doing so. If you are watching after or listening, make sure you are subscribing to Geek Bomb, whether it's on the podcast platform or the YouTube channel, because it doesn't cost a cent, but it will make my day. Let's get cracking on to the watching news with Amy Cassandra Martinez from Geek Bomb.
Yes.
And from Hangout with Amy.
What's going on, Amy?
Thanks. Okay, so this is pretty exciting. Bill and Ted will face the music in theaters, in select theaters, and on demand on September 1st. This is officially 31 years after the release of the original movie. So here's what it's about. Once told they'd save the universe during a time-traveling adventure, two would-be rockers from San Dimas, California, find themselves as middle-aged dads still trying to crank out a hit song and fulfill their destiny. So Keanu's back as Ted, Alex Winter's back as Bill, and you can see on the screen, Samara Weaving from Ready or Not is there.
From Australia.
And yeah, Bridget Lundy Payne from Atypical is also there.
Yeah, Samara's playing the daughter, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's it. I wasn't super, super, super into Bill and Ted's. I remember seeing it a couple of times when I was a kid. I think my mum loved it a lot more than I did, but mum also has like a insatiable crush on Keanu. She's only human. Do you know how many times she watched Speed back to back?
Oh boy.
Like on the VHS, as soon as it finished, she would rewind it.
To be fair, Speed is a really good movie.
Great movie. I can almost rehearse it, like say it line for line, because I watched it. It was just on. It was our background ambience. You can't go over 50. Thanks.
It is really good though.
So good.
With his hand. Yeah, I remember the whole thing. That's so funny. Well, how are you feeling about Bill and Ted? Amy, were you a fan? Trish, did you watch it as a kid?
Yeah,
but that, you know what? I will say people have been losing their shit over it this week. So people have been super, super excited about it. And I don't want to rain on anyone's parade. If they're excited, then I'm excited.
That's how I feel too. I'm not going to yuck anybody else's yum. It's probably going to be really fun. My personal hesitation is like, are we going to watch what happened with many other sequels where we bring people back much later in life to reprise their former roles, and it just ends up being this kind of like really sad letdown. You know, I'm not excited for another one of those.
Keanu's not desperate. Usually it's like, you know, David Hasselhoff going, yeah, I'll do Sharknado 89, you know.
Hey,
Keanu doesn't need this.
Don't hassle the Hoff. That's what I will say, Maude Garrett. Do not hassle the Hoff. I
can hassle the Hoff.
David Hasselhoff is my, when I need to laugh, he is like my favorite, like, you know how you have like favorite bad movies that you love because they're bad? That's how I feel about the Hoff.
What movies did he do?
Jekyll and Hyde. He plays the lead in the musical Jekyll and Hyde that they filmed on Broadway, and it is my favorite bad musical to love. It is the most awful, wonderful thing I've ever seen in my life. In fact, we brought that DVD for me to watch while I was in labor, because I read that that you should laugh your way through labor. And I was like, you know what makes me laugh really hard? The Hoff starring in Jekyll and Hyde. So bring that one.
I've realized not much actually makes me laugh out loud, but I'm pleasantly surprised with Community, because I've been rewatching that. I'm halfway through season two now. That writing is so sharp and quick and witty and wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it's so much of it is a throwaway. And I'm like, I caught that. I got that. It was good. Mm-hmm. And I will laugh out loud, but a lot of stuff I don't. I'm like the nostril. I'll do that. That's my laugh. Is that funny?
Archer is my show that makes me laugh out loud.
Yeah, I've watched that.
It makes
I'm a tough nut to crack, though, and a lot of this is Americanized humor, whereas I have a very different type of humor. But for some reason, Dan Harmon just cracked the code on that one.
Awesome.
And I meant, that was the strangest laugh I've ever heard from you. It was like 90 part sympathy, but one part slightly delighted.
The next episode of Power Up, or today's Power Down, is just Maude decoding laughs.
Yeah.
Totally. But seriously, I know a lot of people in chat were saying that Bill and Ted Face the Music, that they're so stoked for this movie. So, yeah. I'm excited for it. And Amy, chat wants to know what makes you laugh.
Oh, actually a lot.
I do.
A lot. Honestly, yeah, I could go on. Watch Power Down. Hey.
Oh, we had to take out a full 1 minute laugh session for one of our movie reviews once. It was very funny.
Oh my god.
Do you remember? Give us the TLDR, what inspired all the laughter.
I was saying I really, really liked the women. And something like, what did you say, Amy, that you liked it too? And I was like, well, yeah, you are one.
Yeah. Well, because we were talking about horror movies. Or no, we were talking about Florence Pugh. And then I was like, you know what? Yeah. And I tried to relate it. And you're like, oh, you like it because you're a little woman. And it just threw me so off guard. I just could not stop laughing.
That was a fun one.
Maude always throws those zingers into me. And I'm like just slightly too slow for it. You'll throw in the zingers. And I'm like halfway into my next sentence before I'm like, oh, wait, hold on. Back that up. You just said what I thought you just said.
Already I've gone. abort. I'm like, never mind. Keep going. Shit.
That video, in case you guys are wondering, was the 2019 like best TV shows and movies. 2019? Yes. Yep. So, there's a lot that makes me laugh.
All right, Amy, well, thank you so much for telling us what's going off and bringing us the Bill and Ted news.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah.
Super, super fun. All right, Amy, we'll see you in just a bit for Bombs Away Q&A. Hang tight. All right, Maude, you and I have been watching more, considering it's been a few weeks since we asked each other this question, but you are always watching things for the various different shows that you host. So what are you watching that you want to talk about this week?
I was on Rotten Tomatoes to do one of their battle binge showdowns where I was to tackle a series with a number of questions and actually debate it. And I got hit up and they're like, do you like Avatar? And I'm like, I don't like Avatar. I love Avatar. But I hadn't seen it for over a decade. So I was like, all right, better just, you know, wet the whistle. And I went back in to watch it all. And I watched the entire three seasons, the entire show, in about 2.5 days. And it was the best 2.5 days. I was sick in bed. This show is so good. So I was always worried about things that came out a while ago, and it's the nostalgia factor that you hold on to. Mm-hmm. But if this show was a person, I would die for this show. Like, I would jump in front of a bullet, because it is it's such good world building in this time where there are four sort of like nations and components of the earth where you are able to manipulate a particular element. And there is the Fire Nation, and there is the Earth Kingdom, and there is the Water Tribe, and then there should be the Air Temple, except that was all demolished because the Fire Nation decided to not be in harmonious sort of peace with everyone, but mm-hmm. wanted to take the territories. And Aang is the last airbender, because it all got wiped out. He got frozen in an iceberg for 100 years and has come to, and now it's up to him, the peacekeeper of all of the sort of nations, to try and stop the Fire Nation from taking over the world. The world building is amazing. The writing is fantastic. Remember, I just said that I rarely laugh out loud. This show had moments that made me absolutely cackle, like so funny.
Okay. Sokka's
best puns. He's so clever as a character, but like the whole concepts and relationships are so great. It handles so many great themes and issues that are really palatable and great learning lessons for sort of like the kid, tween, teen, adult sort of scope of things. And it does it in a palatable way that doesn't feel like it's teaching you a lesson, mm-hmm. but you know, the whole yearning to learn sort of thing. And and it's funny. And Toph, there's a character in the show who is blind, and so it really tackles disability, but does it in a way where she sort of addresses that her parents think that she's just, you know, needs protecting and can't do anything on her own, and she ends up being such a powerful, amazing character. And I love the way that they not only were sensitive towards her disability, but also making fun of it in the appropriate ways and how she's able to jest about it, but normalized her so much. There is a million amazing things I can say about this series. I loved it so much I've moved on to Korra, but that is coming to Netflix mid-August as well. So if you have Netflix, do yourself a favor. It is a 12 out of 10 series.
Yay! The other person who I always hear that from, just singing the praises of the series, is Hector Navarro. So as soon as you said this, I was like, oh, you've been hanging out with Hector a lot, haven't you?
It's just so beautiful and wonderful. And I'm actually I don't like animated shows. Like you were saying, you love Archer. I just can't really usually get into them at all. But this, brilliant.
Awesome. I have not delved at all. So maybe at some point soon.
And it's a good one that Logan and you as well could watch. I think
Logan okay one?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything that's Logan okay is good for me. I don't know that it necessarily will hold his attention yet. He's still in like baby stuff. We're still at like Sesame Street.
Yeah, but you also showed him the 1977 Hobbit. And if you're going to make him watch that, then he can watch
it. It's true. And he was running around all this morning saying, Mommy, the spiders, I'm going to sting you with my sword. And trying to sting the spiders.
Is this Pablo Baggins?
Oh, yes. He is Pablo Baggins. No, he actually says Bilbo now. But yes, yeah. Pablo Baggins will go down in history.
Pablo.
So good. Nate and I have been doing this thing now where we alternate nights. So one night it's his night to choose, one night it's my night to choose, etc. Because we have such a hard time agreeing on watching something that it's actually been very nice, because each of us taking turns choosing and having our night to choose is exposing us to a wider variety of content. So it's been really cool. And one of the things we stumbled upon, which I completely missed this boat, Knives Out. Completely missed it. Like, we were just like, oh, here's this movie, Knives Out. Wow, that's an insane cast. Okay, yeah, let's pick that one. Both of us going into it having no idea what the movie was about, having, like, not even remembering that it got tons of hype when it came out. like just completely going into it, you know, not knowing anything, and absolutely loved it. I saw someone in chat saying earlier when we first pulled up this graphic that they thought Knives Out was too overhyped and that they didn't care for it. But I, because I was going into it with complete no background knowledge, I thought it was absolutely amazing. We had a really good time. And the other movie I watched recently that we had a really good time was Palm Springs, which was another one of my choices. Because so many other people had talked about it, I'd seen it hyped online from a lot of my friends. And I was like, you know, and everyone that I saw talk about it said this, so I will echo it. If you need a break from the dumpster fire that is 2020, and you need to just lighten the load and laugh at something and just completely frivolous but still well-made rom-com, hit up Palm Springs. It is exactly the break you need after you've just been, you know, like, you know when you go down the internet rabbit hole of news right now and 20 minutes later you're like, everything's the worst, and you know that's all snowballing in your head. Take a pause and go watch Palm Springs or Knives Out or The Last Airbender. They are all here for your viewing enjoyment for escapism. But those are the two that I watched recently.
With Palm Springs, did you also find that this is a version of Andy Samberg you haven't really seen before? Because he is my favorite Andy Samberg I've ever been introduced to. And he kind of seems 10 years younger somehow and looks younger. But I ended up having a little bit of a Samberg crush after this one.
It's a rom-com. You're supposed to have a crush on the guy. That's how these movies work.
Most of the other stuff, I'm just like, yeah. From this one, I was like, beep.
I always thought he was super funny. So I've always enjoyed Lonely Island's content. I also thought it was interesting that Palm Springs was a Lonely Island Productions or a Lonely Island movie. It said in the beginning, I was like, someone's trying to be Happy Gilmore Productions, huh?
Good.
Do it. I always enjoyed the Happy Gilmore movies.
Oh, I'm about that. Yeah. Andy Samberg.
Make it happen. I like Lonely Island. I'm down for it. I thought he was very funny in it. There were a lot of laugh out loud moments in this for both Nate and I. Again, talking about like moments that actually make you laugh out loud as opposed to like, definitely some funny moments.
Knives Out was nominated for Best Screenplay at the Academy Awards as well. Rian Johnson wrote that and he basically shot the movie. He wrote the script, shot the movie in the same year. So they were just really ready for it. And his whole pitch was that it was a Clue sort of murder mystery and that we actually haven't really had a murder mystery in quite a while. So he just loved the genre for that. I did all the cast and crew. I did the junket for this one.
Nice.
And I love how different Chris Evans is in this. And I was like, what was it like going from Captain America to Captain Dick?
I know. I could not believe it.
Yeah.
It was so good, though. It was so good. Everyone was amazing in it. And even the trailer of it is very Clue. Because we watched the trailer before we decided, oh, yeah, we'll give this movie a shot tonight. We watched the trailer, and I was like, ugh, I'm getting such Clue flashbacks in, like, the best way ever.
Yeah. And that, like, gaudy, over-the-top acting, like, from what's the detective's name? Benoit Blanche or something. What's his name?
I don't remember his name, but his southern accent was driving me crazy.
Benoit Blanc.
Say it.
Benoit Blanc. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, his southern accent was driving Nate crazy. He couldn't handle it. But that was the only complaint, I think, in our house. I enjoyed it immensely.
Big time great. Alrighty, let's do some Bums Away Q&A with Amy Cassandra Martinez. She's got a question on the Patreon that you guys have submitted earlier, and you also get to find out the guest ahead of time as well. And we'll be getting one live from the Twitch too. What do we got?
So this one's from Steven Summers. After having seen Mulan before the lockdown, do y'all think Mulan should wait to come out in theaters, or is it better to just release it on Disney Plus?
It's delayed indefinitely, right? Isn't that the latest news on it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Devastating. It was the last movie that you and I saw this year, and it was together.
Yeah.
And it's so good. We saw it on the big screen. The fact that I've seen it on the big screen, it's so beautiful. The colors are so rich. The scope is just epic. I think you need to see it on the big screen. But I mean,
yeah. I know that people have feelings about whether or not they want to support the movie because of political statements that have been made by cast members. And so I know that's a thing. But taking all of that out of it, The movie was absolutely stunning. I really liked the retelling of that story. And friend Jimmy Wong is in it. So I would love to see it get its big theater debut. Especially for Jimmy and like digital content creators that can work on these massive projects that can be released digitally, released on a streaming platform, have tons and tons and tons of views, and traditional media still doesn't care.
Yep.
But if it's released in theaters, even if it only has a fraction of the views, for whatever reason, it has the ability to catapult your career to the next level. And I want to see that happen for Jimmy. I want to see that happen for all my fellow creators. But like really, and that's such a very personal reason as an answer to this question, but I would love to see it be that catapult for him.
I agree. Have we got one from Twitch?
My app quit and I brought it back, but it didn't bring back the chat. Oh,
okay. Let me have a little squizzy. I still like the end. There we go. Chat there.
There it is.
Oh, well,
it is.
Now that you've seen Avatar, which bender are you? Air, earth, fire, or water? Trisha, because you haven't seen it, which bending would you want to do? Which
I don't know what that means. Is it just mean the element I have control over?
Yeah, so you can either water bend, which means you can sort of like change water to be frozen, to be shields, to split the seas, to be like ice knives. Air is you can like obviously put air in a sail and he paraglides around. Mm-hmm. You can burst bits of air. You can take air away if you want to be a little evil. With water bending, you can do blood bending if you want to be a little evil, but you need the power of the moon in alignment. Fire bending, you can summon fire and obviously shoot fire. And if you're really powerful, lightning. And then earth bending, you can obviously move big parts of the earth. And if you're really strong, you can metal bend.
Ooh, I think, and so to me, the closest comparison I have to answer this question is, what type of Genasi do you want to be in D&D?
Oh.
That's how I'm, like, thinking of this question. So I'm sure it's different, but because I know that better, whenever I'm playing Dungeons & Dragons, I almost always choose fire because I like to go aggro as a character and be able to hold my own in battle.
8d6, come on. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. But honestly, probably in my real life, I would choose water.
That's exactly what I do. Fire in Genasi's, but water in Avatar.
Yeah.
I mean, water heals as well. You can heal people.
Oh, that. And water also just has it can have a very calming effect too, yet it's still chaotic and unpredictable. I think I choose water.
If you head over to Rotten Tomatoes Facebook page or YouTube channel, I debated that very, very thing. And maybe one. Who knows? Go check it out.
No spoilers. No spoilers. Awesome. Well, thank you for that question. And Amy, thank you for bringing the bombs away from both Patreon, from Geek Bombs Patreon, and from the Twitch chat. You're the best. Thank you.
Hold on. What element would you have?
Go back.
Water.
Good.
Yeah, also, yeah.
Yep, sweet. Cool. Glad we got to know.
Good.
That's important.
Good.
Sweet. All right. We're back. Sure. Well, that's all the time we have for watching, but we have already done playing. Reading is around the corner. Don't go anywhere if you're watching this live. If you are watching this on YouTube, make sure you give it a subscribe and watch all the episodes for this one. But we'll be back. Thank you so much for watching.
Yay! Okay, it's break time. Let's see what we got here. I see that I had a Twitch baby with DOS949. Thank you for resubbing for 9 months. You're amazing. Thank you and welcome Compulsive Mosher, The Weird Guy, Nightlight Got Me, and Minnesota. Thank you for the follows. And Scoobs83, I appreciate the cheer. You also said, just got home from being in the hospital. Came on Twitch and I'm seeing two of my favorite people. Makes me feel so much better. So glad that you're home from the hospital. I don't know what it was, but I'm glad that you're home and, are on the mend and can continue to be on the mend in your own surroundings. I'm sure that.
Yeah, all giving you water bending healing vibes.
Yes. Yes. So thank you. Thank you to everybody who's here. Okay, so we have one more segment of the show today, the PW&R. So we are up to the reading portion of the show. Thank you all so much for being here. I'm Trisha Hirschberger, joined by the lovely Maude Garrett. Whether you're listening to this in podcast form or watching it in videocast form on Geek Bomb or watching it live, here on Twitch. We welcome you and thank you. So let's head to check in with Amy Cassandra Martinez for What's Going Off.
Oh, hey, breaking news. Whoa.
We've got more Keanu news. Today was 2 out of 3 Keanu pieces of information, but also you guys talked about Cyberpunk. So all Keanu, all today.
It's true.
So this Boom Studios is proud to announce Berserker.
Berserker, a bird. It's Zerker in here.
Berserker. So it's a 12-issue limited series from Keanu Reeves. This is his comic book writing debut. This is a fun little quote from him. He said, "I have loved comics since I was a young kid, and they have been a significant influence on me artistically." This is pretty brutally violent, so just keep that in mind. Berserker number one will debut in comic shops in October of this year. But today's the 24th, so on the 26th, this video, if you're watching this on VOD, this will already be live. But if you're watching this right now, live, right now, fans who attend the Boom Studios Discover Yours panel on July 26th at 11 a.m. Pacific time at Comic-Con at Home will get a very special preview of never-before-seen interior art, as well as, like, behind-the-scenes information and stuff. So just kind of keep that in mind. And if you want to register, comic-con.org. But if not, I mean, this is still very exciting. It is, like I said, very mature. And you can also get it online, comicshoplocator.com in October.
Got it.
Awesome. Yeah. I had no idea this was even a thing. Did you, Mon?
You wrote it. I've heard of Berserker. I didn't know that Keanu was writing it. And I'm kind of wondering what the point of difference is between sort of like the John Wick that we've seen him do 3 movies of already and then something like this. I mean, if they're all from Berserker, I thought this is Wolverine. Like, he looks like he's kind of pitching himself to be the next Logan. Yeah. With no complaints here at all. Hugh Jackman, one of the nicest guys in the business. Keanu Reeves, the nicest guy. Like, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. A new telling of a Logan-esque character, I'm totally on board with. I wouldn't cast Keanu as the next Logan because he's just too old.
He's doing pretty well in John Wick, although every time he starts limping, I'm just like, take care of yourself, sweetie.
But I'm like, if we're going to air in, like, the older part of Logan's story, we have Hugh Jackman already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. If we're going to recast Logan as a character, picking someone young and doing a different part of the tale would probably be the way to go. But I gave a thumbs up when we said, like, a brutally violent new series, because I, in particular, really like when comic books and media that are more violent in nature actually show what that violence would look like. Like, it's something, taking it back to Logan, it's something I thought they did really well in the movie Logan, because it's like, you know, like, snicked wouldn't just be a little bubble that said snicked and then the dude falls down. Like, that's blades going through a human being. That's terrifying. So, like, when you saw Logan, you're like, yeah, that's what that would look like. But I enjoy the realism of them showing that instead of trying to sugarcoat it in any way. And especially in comics, and I think because in an art style, it's not as gross to me as it is in other forms. So I'm on board with that, and I can't wait to see what this is.
So Zelda got up, walked across so that she could lay on my foot.
Is this a cute moment you're having? Okay, I wasn't sure.
My foot's her pillow. I love her.
If I wasn't worried about you messing up your setup, I would have said, take your camera and, like, show us.
Hey, baby, come here. It's time to
get... There we go.
Oh, boof. Oh, I boofed her in the head coming up. There she is. She was just trying to sleep on my foot. Thank you so much, Amy, for the reading news. It is now time for Trisha and I to discuss what we are currently reading.
Yay!
Oh. Ooh, what's Don't Sweat the Small Stuff and Tell Me Everything, please?
This is a book I was kind of inspired by. So last week we had Troy Baker and he talked about a book that he rereads every so often. And this is my book that I reread every so often. It is short. Each chapter is about, like, a page and a half to 2 pages of small pages. It's like a tiny book.
So you can just pick it up and read a chapter or two very quickly in between doing other things, which fits my lifestyle for sure. And it is a book for people like you and I, Maud. It is a book for people who take on way too much and put immense pressure on ourselves to do all of the things all of the time. And this book is just full of lots of little common sense reminders. And that full title is Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff.
Yeah.
And it just helps you kind of, every time I read it when I need to regain perspective, because, you know, like there's just a little page and a half on like, your inbox does not need to be empty all the time.
Yeah, but it is.
Well, if it is, then that's great. But like, if you need to leave some things in your inbox until the next day, give yourself a break. That's okay. When you die, and if you believe you go to the pearly gates, they're not going to say, oh, I'm sorry, did you have all of your emails checked off before you're allowed in? Like, it just really helps you put everything in perspective and realize that some of the things that you might be really stressing out over or really guilting yourself for are probably not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of life. And I always find that I read it and then I have like so much more inner peace, and then I get to the point where I need to reread it. But it is a book that I lend to people, that I reread at least probably once a year, that I got from my mom, actually, because she was like, I think you could use this. Aww. Now, I don't know if my mom had even read the book. She just knows that I'm like a more tightly wound personality type. And it's just been lovely. I love it. I cannot recommend it enough. In fact, at one point I thought about making the Naked Truth series, just each episode tackling a different chapter of this book.
Oh, I like that.
Because I love the advice in it so much, and I feel like it's helped me so much that I want to share it with other people. Don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff.
I would probably be like that if I noticed that I was complaining more and more. I can't stand it when other people complain, because again, it's like, it's just small stuff. This isn't worth like having any negative feelings over. This isn't worth clouding your brain. But notice that I would start, like if I was getting quite caught up about a lot of things, I would start sweating the small stuff, and just whoever was in earshot, they would get an ear full of it. So what I used to do, I used to live near Griffith Observatory in LA, and I would kind of go there because one of the things that's there are all the sizes of the planets, and you would see like, but it was to scale. So let's just say like Mercury is teeny tiny, and then Venus is quite a bit bigger, and then Earth is like, I'm telling you, like it's about this big on in the display. It's tiny. And then Jupiter's like, you know, massive. And then it shows you like the timeline in millions and millions of years. And then it kind of says, you are here. And it's like, vroom. And I go, oh, so these problems that seem really big to me, not only are my problems not big, but I am not big, and I am merely a blip, and I won't even matter in the grand scheme of things. And my time alive is kind of all pointless, not pointless, but like it just doesn't matter. And I'm only made up of a little bit of matter. And so like that to me kind of like will help me with my perspective on it all. Hey, I've got a question.
I love the Griffith Observatory. For the record, we should like go there all the time because it's amazing. Once it opens again, of course.
Oh, yeah, whenever that's going to be.
What are you reading?
I'm reading, this is for Nerdist Book Club's new book. It is Claudia Gray, who I love. I've covered Lost Stars before on Geek Bombs Book Club, but she's done a second novel called Bloodline, and it takes place 7 years before The Force Awakens, and it's from Leia's perspective. So Leia is 49. She's had Ben with Han Solo. He's semi sort of retired, but he's still got like that sort of smuggling war hero kind of vibes. She has been balancing sort of like her ambassador duties mixed in with being in the Galactic Senate. And they're kind of really tackling life post Palpatine and what it looked like to have an all-consuming, corrupt leader that was in a dictatorship where he, as the Empire, was able to completely manipulate and corrupt all of the governing system. Awesome. And I previously don't really like talking talking about politics. As soon as like congressional or, you know, is mentioned, fade out. And if we all remember from Phantom Menace, like the majority of that movie was about the trade federations. And I was like, oh my God, I don't care. But in this particular way, Claudia Gray does such an amazing job at presenting the facts and then also divulging the emotional consequence of these facts. And she really puts, like, it's called, instead of, like, you know, you're the red and the blue side here, the Democrats and the Republics, it is called the populist faction and the centrists. And it's talking about how, and it's so relevant to sort of now, but both parties have, like, opposing sort of ways to do things, but neither is necessarily right and wrong. They're just different. And so it's arguing sort of like both of those sides, but showing that you can have middle ground and actually have a great conversation and learn. It's been actually really, really wonderful, but it's got a great lot of action. I love hearing learning more about Leia as well. Fantastic book. I'm trying to get Claudia Gray on a Geek Bomb book club after show. I've just emailed, so we'll see if I hear back from that one, because that would be amazing.
That'd be so cool. Any Star Wars
books? Have you read any Star Wars books?
I have listened to, but not read, Darth Plagueis.
Nice. So with a lot of the Star Wars books, now that they're canon especially, they have all the access to the music, sound effects, you name it. And so it absolutely aids the storytelling, because at once, you know, at one stage it's like, I look to the left, and an alarm went off. You're like, yeah, I heard it. Like, it's so immersive in that way. Yeah. And then using the Star Wars soundtrack to kind of really amplify that mood and that setting. Ah, I love it.
Yay! So cool. Yeah. Well, those are our watching recommendations. Let's get into some bombs away Q&A and bring Amy back in here. Hi, Amy.
Hey, girl. Hey, what are you reading at the moment? You said you had one on the table there. Is that Annihilation? No.
No. It's Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates.
What is that?
So it's basically a black father writes a letter to his son, and I believe this is actually
that's what I had mistaken for. Yeah, I know. I was like, okay.
What?
Looks very similar.
So it's actually Ta-Nehisi Coates writing a letter to his son and just telling him about experiences as a black man. And I just found out, apparently a day ago, Variety said that they're going to turn it into an HBO series. Did I read that right? Cool. Yeah, something like that. So I'm definitely trying to up my game when it comes to reading books from black authors and black experiences. So
I love that.
Yeah. It's actually really great, and it's not too long. And there are no chapters, just like Dune doesn't have chapters.
Oh, yeah. So also, I noticed you're wearing your Puns with Buns shirt from Pundawear.net. That is our layer design that we have. That's a really good timing. I noticed.
Yay! Thank you.
So, as far as questions go, we have this one from James Smith. What activity during the day powers you up, and what activity powers you down?
I like that. Have you got anything, Trish?
What powers me up and what powers me down? Coffee? Does that count as a power up? I don't know. I'm someone that has more energy in the mornings than in the evenings. Which is very tricky because my husbando is the opposite. So, like, I wake up in the morning, get my coffee, getting ready for the day, thinking about all the things I want to tackle today. And I'm like, yeah, let's do this. It's going to be a good day. I got this. And I'll start, like, trying to talk to Nate about, like, what about this today? Can you call them today? I'm going to do that. And he's like, I'm only comprehending about 10% of the words coming out of your mouth right now. I'm not on your level yet. And then conversely, after 8:15, I'm like, I just want a bowl of ice cream and I want to sit and watch TV and I don't. And like my husband's like, cool, let's do our workout for the week. And I'm like, oh no. But I'm done. I already did everything today.
Yeah, I'm both. Shit. I mean, I'm not a morning person and I also wind down in the evening. Trisha, I'm on day 6-5 in a row of eating ice cream for dinner.
I love ice cream so much. I love it so much. Although you should try to have, you should try to have something for dinner before that. But let me just tell you, straight up after one of my workouts with my trainer, I know I'm supposed to have protein after workouts. I got out the ice cream cart and I was like, it's milk. It's got protein in it. And just got myself a fatty bowl of ice cream.
I got sprinkles. And so, like, I get so excited about having rainbow sprinkles on my ice cream that, like, it gets to dinner time and I'm just like, I can't wait. No, it's not a cry for help. I just realized I could, so I am.
Yeah.
Like,
why not?
I'm in that part of lockdown. Some people are baking sourdough bread. I'm having ice cream for dinner. No judgment.
No judgment whatsoever. Do what you got to do to get through lockdown. That's what I will say.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have a super important question from Beardtastic Yogi. What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Honestly, like a really nice vanilla, like because I like putting things on it, and it's okay. such a great compliment.
What do you put on it then?
I liked crushed peanuts. I liked rainbow sprinkles. I like the topping that hardens when it gets cold. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I love ice cream. Mm-hmm. And I bought a couple of flavors already because it's lockdown. And I bought a Rocky Road one and I was like, yay. But then I realized that the whole ice cream was chocolate flavored ice cream.
Oh, Rocky Road is chocolate. It's chocolate with walnuts and marshmallow through it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I ate it all. But I just don't love chocolate ice cream. I like vanilla as the base and then add stuff in. What about you, Trish?
So I am probably could be certified ice cream addict. Certainly an ice cream enthusiast. My day job was working in an ice cream parlor 40 hours a week for the first 6.5 years I was in L.A., I know every type of ice cream. I can tell you what every flavor is. And I have very distinct feelings about, like, I get so deep into ice cream that I've made combos that I don't think people have ever comboed before. And I'm like, that one's good. That one's not so good. Let's try this one. Mix it a little different here. This is what happens when you work 40 hours at an ice cream parlor for 6.5 years.
Are you flirting? Because
like someone ordered a strawberry and cookies and cream shake and you accidentally put in peppermint because the peppermint colored ice cream is pretty close to the strawberry. Sounds like it might be gross. Spoiler alert. It's awesome. It's thin mints in a milkshake. Like you just mess and you go and you never stop. Yeah, girl. So my favorite ice cream to just buy, like that's already pre-existing, is Ben and Jerry's Half Baked. Because it is chocolate chip cookie dough and double fudge brownie mixed together. And again, I think because of my background, I'm like the opposite of you, Maude. I'm like not plain unless I'm coating it with caramel and hot fudge. And I'll take the magic shell, but I want the peanut butter magic shell and put some Oreo crumbles on there. And, you know, like I'm like, go, 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 go with your bad self and your ice cream. And I cannot wait until Logan is old enough and we're out of quarantine enough to take that little dude for an ice cream sundae. I can, and like let him pick out his toppings. Oh man, can't wait.
Oh, coffee ice cream. Oh, it's so good. And then we used to have Cold Rock in Australia, and you would like get chopped up Tim Tams and put it and spooned it in the coffee ice. That was the best combo. I tried a few, and that was, for me, the best combo. Amy, what's your favorite ice cream? Because this is the ice cream podcast now.
I mean, geez. Coffee ice cream with marshmallows.
Marshmallows okay. Or marshmallow oh, sauce? Good.
No. Like, marshmallows in there, like, mixed
okay.
in.
Okay.
That's my jam. But I'm doing dairy-free stuff now.
There's good dairy-free ice creams.
It's so good. Yeah. So good. There's this one from Nada Moo. And I can't remember what's in it, except that there might be some cookie dough, maybe, and other stuff. But, like, I like it kind of like you, Trish, where it's just, like, put a bunch of stuff in there. But it has to be the stuff I like.
Yeah.
Like, marshmallows, cookie dough, sometimes Oreos. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like a nut. I like a roasted nut.
Mm.
Oh, really? A little bit of almond? A little bit of peanut? Oh,
I draw the line.
So I'm so surprised you didn't like Rocky Road, but it's because you don't like chocolate as your base.
Yes, exactly.
Got it. Because I'm like, man, Rocky Road, walnuts and mallow? Sounds like it'd be right up your alley if you like nuts in your ice cream.
I like nuts in my ice cream.
How about a drumstick ice cream? You'd probably like a drumstick ice cream.
Oh, really? I do. I used to steal my grandmother's all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I was her primary hero, so.
You know what? I have a really funny drumstick story, but I will save it for Power Down.
Yay! Oh, awesome. Oh, we will continue the ice cream discussion big time, and we can talk through the therapeutic reasons why I've clearly been eating all this ice cream. What is the power the Twitch question?
That was it. I think the favorite kind of ice cream was the Twitch question.
Good. Yeah. Fantastic. That is it for reading then, hey? Oh, cool. I'm actually so excited to get into Power Down. So we're going to finish this nice and early. Thank you for watching Power Up. You've seen playing, watching, reading. If you've seen all of these, if you've been here alive, thank you so much as well. Drop a sub, drop a follow, do all that fun stuff. We really appreciate it. If you want to get your questions in and have them prioritized, patreon.com/geekbomb. Mm-hmm. And if you sign up for $10, you can get the Power Down episode, which we are filming right after this. Thank you so much for watching. We really appreciate your views and eyeballs on this. Thanks for letting us chat ice cream for 25 minutes.
We totally did. Thank you guys so much. Welcome to the new followers over here. Classy Librarian resubbed for 68 months in a row. OG.
Did they just do that?
OG. Happy subversary. Yes. Welcome to the new followers who are here today. You guys are awesome. Classy, you're the best of the best, and you know that I adore you, and I know you redeemed Dragon Scales for a one-on-one hangout, and we shall be doing that soon, my friend. I cannot wait. So thank you to everybody who was here. I know we got raided twice today, so I want to see if Iffy is still on to raid, because I want to pay forward the raid today. I know we don't always raid after Power Up, but let's see. Let me see if we got an Iffy on here to raid. I know he was playing Valorant.
Who I see is on.
I don't know if he still is.
Do you follow Kate Welsh from Wizards of the Coast? She's a legend.
No, but I probably should.
She's wonderful. Dungeons and Dragons is on at the moment with the Welcome In.
I try.
He's on.
I guess if he's no longer... Oh, he is! Raid Tool, what are you doing?
Kiki.
Raid Tool, what are you... Oh, Kate's on too? Lots of people are on. Okay, setting up a raid for my good buddy, Ifties. So folks, please go tell Iffy that Mod and I say hello. And have a wonderful rest of your day. The next time that I will be streaming is Sunday morning, starting Ghost of Tsushima. And if you want to check out, I'm very excited in case you can't tell. You can check out Maude and Amy on all of the things all the time. Quickly, ladies, where can they find you?
For Fridays, you've already missed today's horror hangout with Amy. But Amy, where can people find your YouTube channel and your show?
It's on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Twitch. Just follow me on my socials at AmyCassandraMTZ. But it's definitely on YouTube.com/AmyCassandra. At 1 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time.
This weekend, tomorrow, guys, if you are following any of the Comic-Con live online stuff, I am playing...
something.
Dungeons and Dragons. What is the first edition temple, the Temple of Doom?
old school module. That's cool.
Tomb of Terrors. Christ. I am playing the Tomb of Terrors with not only Kate Welsh, but Joe Mantinello and B. Dave Walters and Xander. Xanderific is on that one as well. There's a bunch of awesome, awesome peeps. I am playing a ranger called Ursula. She's totes OP, so... watch me kick butt in that one. And then we're going to do a live Q&A afterwards from, I believe... either 4 till 5:30 or 5 till 6 something. I should know this, but I only just realized that I make it yesterday, so I only just said yes to it.
Well, that sounds really fun. Yay! Tomb of Horrors.
I could not get it out. I'm going to get ice cream right now, swear to God.
If I wasn't worried about spoiling dinner, I would totally have ice cream during Power Down. But anyway, with that being said, thank you all so much for watching, and we'll see you soon. Have a great rest of your day, and again, tell Iffy we said hi. Bye, everybody. Thank you.